And I told her she wanted to know about the rapture and about the tribulation. And I said, well, I started a message on that. And I said, why don't you, you know, Sunday night we got more. She said, I want to be there Sunday night. I want to be there to hear it. She's driving way in to hear it. So praise the Lord for that. God's timing is right. And thank God for teaching of the Word of God. Last week we started a new series. We've been preaching on the unholy spirit. And we started a series on the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Much misunderstood. And we talked about the baptism with the Holy Ghost. The baptism with the Holy Ghost. And we talked about that last week. And now this week we want to continue that series. And we said in the book of Acts that Peter had gone to Caesarea. And he had Gentile people there in Cornelius' household. And Peter reported back to the Jewish church in Jerusalem. They were all Jews at the time. And he told them what happened. He said that as he began to speak to them and these people believed on Christ, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. And then he remembered what John had said. John said, I baptize with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And so we preached on this baptism with and in the Holy Ghost, and we said it was prophesied by John, and that it first happened historically on the day of Pentecost, that Jewish church was baptized with and in the Holy Ghost, even as John prophesied. But John said that Jesus was mightier than him, and he was the one that would baptize with the Holy Ghost. John said, I just baptized with water. And we said last week that there are three things in any baptism. And I'm not going to ask you what they are. I'm going to just tell you what they are, review them. The first thing is you need a baptizer. And so in the baptism that John was talking about, one of the men tell me, who was the baptizer in John's baptism?
John.
It was John. He was the baptizer. Now, in any baptism, you need a baptizer. Amen? We have baptism in this church. Usually Deacon Joe is a baptizer. Sometimes I'll baptize. But you need a baptizer that in any baptism, in water baptism, you need a baptizer. Amen? And then the second thing you need is the element. The element in which or with which the person is baptized. And not in John's baptism. Well, we know in John's baptism the element was what? Water. Amen? And they were immersed in the Jordan River. And we know that. Jewish proselyte baptism, same way. It was by immersion, and you'd go in under the water, and then you became a Jew. A full Jew, part of the Israelite community. But you had to go through proselyte baptism. And then in Christian baptism, there's baptism in water. Amen? So the element is the second thing. You need a baptizer, then you need an element, and the element is water. But in the baptism that John prophesied about, one of the men tell me, what was the element that John said that people would be baptized with by Jesus?
The Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Good, Luke. The Holy Spirit. And he said, Jesus is mightier than I. He can baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, every baptism has a baptizer. It has an element, in this case, the Holy Spirit. And then every baptism has one more thing. Does any man know what that is? One more thing that every baptism has. Every baptism has these three things. Luke, you got that? I can't believe it if you do.
The purpose.
Oh, wow. Out of the mouth of 12-year-olds. Wow. Every baptism has a purpose. Kind of reminds me of Jesus at 12 there. Amen? Talking with the big men. Every baptism has a purpose. Every baptism has a purpose. Now, in John's baptism, the element was water, and the purpose was to get people to identify with the coming Messiah, who was ready to be revealed, who would be the King of Israel if the nation would receive him and repent and receive him and be born again. Then if they were born again and they received the Messiah, as the Messiah, they would be fulfilling that purpose. So the baptism was to show that they had repented and received the coming Messiah and were ready to follow him. Amen? That was John's baptism, the purpose. Now, John said that Jesus had a baptism, and that baptism would be with the Holy Spirit, and that baptism would have a purpose. What was the main purpose, according to Acts 1, of the Holy Spirit baptism that we preached on last week?
To be able to give the gospel better.
Exactly right. To be able to give the gospel better with the witness and power of the Holy Spirit backing it up. And so it wouldn't just be in word. It would be in the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. We want preaching to be like that, amen? Where it's just not a man standing up and teaching, but the Holy Spirit is working with the preacher and bearing witness to what he says to our spirit and with our spirit. And we need to do what we do with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And that was the historic baptism was on the day of Pentecost when the Jewish church that had never received this New Testament outpouring where it would be on young and old, male and female, and it would give them power to witness. And by the way, God wants you to witness. If you're saved, he wants you to be empowered by the Holy Ghost to witness for Jesus Christ, young and old, rich and poor, whatever race, he wants you to speak up for God. And pray for that. Pray for that power. I was praying for it today when that cop came up to me. And God just, he helped me. And he'll help you. He's the helper. And so that was John's baptism that we talked about last week. It's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Who's the baptizer? Jesus. What is the element? The Holy Ghost. Say that. The Holy Ghost. Who's the baptizer? Jesus. What is the element? The Holy Ghost. And what's the purpose? To identify with the coming Messiah, that you're identifying with him. And so that was John's baptism. And what a blessing that was. Now, but the baptism by the Lord with the Holy Ghost, when it happened, there's something else that happened, and it never happened before, and it's something that's not mentioned in Acts 1 and 2, but it's prophesied by the Lord that it would happen. And I'm going to give you the scripture. It says in John 16:26, but when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. So the Lord is saying that there is coming a day when I am glorified and I'm with the Father now, back in heaven. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said he's going to be in you forever. He's with you now, but he's going to be in you. You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost would come upon people and fill them like we just talked about with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. They had a baptism. You say they had a baptism with the Holy Ghost that gave them power in the Old Testament? Yes, it wasn't universal like in the New Testament and offered to everybody. But certain men like Samson, a judge, and Joshua and so forth, they had this power of the Holy Ghost. And they had power to do things for God. And also in the Old Testament, the prophets of God, according to 1 Peter, they even had the Holy Spirit inside of them to help them to prophesy and to write scripture. But was he there permanently living in every believer? No. He was with the prophets and in the prophets, but not permanently. What the Lord said in John's gospel to the disciples, when I'm glorified, when I'm with the Father, we're going to send you the Holy Ghost. And he's going to permanently live inside of you, in your spirit, every believer. Now, first it started with the book of Acts and the Jewish church there. They had the Holy Spirit not only baptize them for power, but also to live inside of them now. And he never left them. Now, it was just that Jerusalem church at first. that he did that to. But he wanted to make it known that he was going to do that to others. And you'll see that in the book of Acts playing out. But this is something not often taught or explained. And the Bible says that after the book of Acts and after that transitional time, God says in Romans 8:9, he says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. In other words, every believer has the Holy Spirit leading in them and leading them. That's the problem with a lot of our kids today. That's the problem with a lot of Baptist churches today. They don't have the Holy Spirit leading in them. You say, why don't they have the Holy Spirit living in them and leading them? Why don't they have the Holy Spirit living in them and leading them? Does anybody know any one of the men? I'll tell you why, because they're not born again. They're not saved. They're no more saved than this block of wood up here. They're dead-headed Christians because they don't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't lose salvation. They never had salvation. But that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. These people were Old Testament like believers, but it was now New Testament, and it was a time for the church to be baptized with and in the Holy Ghost, but also it was a time for the church to have the permanent Holy Ghost living in them permanently. And that's the second thing that happened in Pentecost. But there's a third thing, and that's what I want to preach on tonight. We talked about the baptism with and in the Holy Ghost by Jesus. Jesus was the baptizer. The Holy Spirit was the element. And the purpose was power to witness. But this one, the third one, is a different baptism. And it happened also on the day of Pentecost. It's not mentioned in the book of Acts, so it's not prominently mentioned. But listen, Acts is historical. It records historical events. The epistles are the letters of Paul and Peter, and the letters, they explain what happened. And what they say is, listen, there was a third thing that happened with respect to the Holy Ghost, and that's the message tonight. And that third thing is, the Holy Spirit himself did a baptism. When he was poured forth, and when he came to live within their hearts permanently, he himself did a baptism. So now he becomes the baptizer. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer. And he baptized, get this now, he baptized into an element. And he baptized into an element with a purpose. And you say, well, where is that in Scripture? Does anybody know the Scripture that's the classic Scripture on this baptism by the Holy Spirit into an element? Where is it?
Matthew.
Where in Matthew? I don't know about that one. But I know Matthew. No, that's more of this one. That's this one. You see, you need to understand this. There's something in the Bible, listen, called progressive revelation. Do you know there are certain mysteries which are simply things that God didn't reveal yet? Like the rapture, that was not revealed until Paul revealed it in 1 Corinthians. It wasn't revealed before that. And what would happen at the rapture? I mean, people alive that wouldn't die. Things like that. I don't have time to get into it, but what? Where's that scripture?
I'm not exactly sure where, but I believe it's when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and rested upon him.
That's more of what we talked about last week. All this is further ahead. You got to get into the epistle. So let me take you there, and let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and here's the locus classicus scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and you follow in your copy of God's Word, which happens to be on the screen as well as in your Bible. It says, for by one Spirit are we all, what? Baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. So here's the third thing that happened. The first thing is this baptism that these guys have been talking about with and in the Holy Spirit, Jesus the baptizer, for the purpose of witnessing and power to witness for Christ and to serve Christ. The second thing is permanently the Holy Spirit will now live inside of this Jewish church. And the third thing is the Holy Spirit, who now came and did these things, is going to baptize them into the element of being in the body of Christ, into a spiritual body. You see, the church was together. They had a church that the Lord organized. They had ordinances already, the Lord's Supper and baptism. They had all of these things. They had a treasurer and so forth. But did they have spiritual oneness? No. Because they hadn't been fused into a spiritual body. We are now the body of Christ. And any local church is a local manifestation of that spiritual entity. There is no functioning, listen to me, there's no functioning body of Christ outside the Holy Spirit. You know, when they say the invisible church, it's usually invisible, you know. But there is an invisible union with Christ and his people that does take place the moment we are now saved. But it first happened on the day of Pentecost. It's not mentioned there in Acts, but it's mentioned later in the epistles, which explain things that happened. That's why you need Acts, you need the gospel, you need the epistles. That's why you need teaching. You need teaching, or you can't function. And so this is a baptism now with the Holy Spirit being the baptizer. He's the baptizer. The element is the spiritual body that we're immersed into by the Holy Spirit. And then the purpose is so we can function as part of that body. So we can function as the body of Christ. So that we can function in a local church, which is the functioning body of Christ. And so this is glorious teaching, and it's something the Holy Spirit did, and a lot of people don't understand it. A lot of charismatic Christians, they really major on the baptism with the Holy Spirit unto power. And then they add some other things to it that we'll talk about later on, but not many understand or not. Some understand that there is a baptism by the Holy Spirit into the spiritual body of Christ that functions as a local church. And that's the purpose of that baptism. Three elements to that baptism as well. And so the baptism by the Holy Spirit is very, very important. And this baptism by the Holy Spirit is not the one done by the Lord Jesus. Who is the baptizer? One of the men tell me in this second baptism, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Who's the baptizer?
The Holy Spirit.
Exactly, the Holy Spirit. And what is the element into which we, one of the men, are baptized by the Holy Spirit?
The local New Testament church.
Well, we're actually baptized by the Holy Spirit into spiritual union with Christ and his body, which is his body universal. But we then should, because of that, get into the functional body of Christ, which is the local church. Okay? Got to say it right. I've got to say it right. And Bible says, study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You say, how long did this sermon take, Pastor, to prepare? About 45 years. You say, what were you doing? I think about this stuff all the time. When I was a young guy, 20 years old, 19 years old, I was thinking about it. When I'm up there in a Bible college and going through this and eating it and chewing it. And it's what a teacher should do. And I'm a pastor teacher. And so you are universally, there is the universal spiritual body. Yes, there is, but it doesn't function unless you're in a local church. So because there's been that baptism into that universal spiritual body, you have to get into a church to function. Okay? Amen. Yep.
I would think that he's the baptizer and the element that's being used to baptize them.
Yeah, exactly. And so the Holy Spirit is the baptizer, and he, it says we're all made to drink into one spirit. So in a sense, he is involved in that and gives us that, that's right, that spiritual union. And then the purpose of it is so we can function as the body of Christ. And we can express what Christ would were he in earth today. And he said, didn't he say, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I go away, I'm gonna the Father and I, we're going to send the Comforter. And when the Comforter comes, what did he do? In this third thing, which is the second baptism, he's going to fuse us into a spiritual body of Christ. So the body of Christ, when he was here on earth, could only function where? In Israel. He never got out of Israel. And did he lead that many to the Lord? No. But now, all over the world, you can have local churches. All over the world, you can have the word going out, and the Holy Spirit, and all these things that we're talking about. And it all started in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, this historical thing with this Jerusalem church. So this baptism by the Holy Spirit is not the one by the Lord Jesus. And second point I want to make is this baptism by the Holy Spirit was done first to the Jewish church at Pentecost. This baptism was done by the Holy Spirit, was done first to the Jewish church at Pentecost. But listen to me. God had it repeated. He didn't do it to the whole deal. He repeated it, and I'll explain why. This is unique to the book of Acts. Right now, you don't need to have this done that way, but he did it at the beginning, and he had a purpose, and I'll show you that. The Jewish synagogue allowed no non-kosher Gentiles into the Jewish community. You had to be baptized with proselyte baptism to become part of the Jewish community, like Ruth the Moabitess did. And if you were a Moabitess man, you couldn't enter because they weren't allowed in. Because of what they did to Israel under Balaam and all the rest. But a woman could get in, but you had to be baptized into it to function as a Jew and then live under the Jewish law. All the kosher laws, all the dietary laws, all the Mosaic code, all the circumcision, the whole thing. Then you could be an Israelite. Now, that doesn't mean Gentiles couldn't be saved in the Old Testament, but they weren't part of Israel and had those special blessings. So Peter was like that. He was a kosher Jew. And remember, the Lord told Peter that I'm giving you a leadership role. And Peter, I'm going to give you the keys, get this, to the kingdom of heaven. And what did that mean? That when you get saved and you're part of the body of Christ, we are part of the ruling aristocracy in the coming kingdom. And Peter, you're going to open it up. How would he open it up? By preaching to the church and people getting saved and then by the Holy Spirit coming and baptizing them into this spiritual entity and all of the rest of it. And Peter opened that up in Jerusalem, didn't he? Wasn't he the one? Yeah, he was. God said, you're going to open it up by preaching, not by becoming a pope and you forgiving sin. No, it's by preaching the word of God. And then Peter, he did it with the half-breeds, the Samaritans. They were part Jew and part Gentile. Why did he go up there when Philip preached in Acts chapter 8? And by the way, let's look at this in Acts chapter 8. Go to Acts chapter 8 and notice what it says there in Acts chapter 8, when Peter went up there to Samaria. Does anybody know who actually preached in Samaria the gospel for the first time? And remember, Samaria was in the north above Israel, first Jerusalem. They went to Judea. Who preached and people got saved in Samaria?
Jesus.
Yes, but I'm thinking in the book of Acts. Who did it in the book of Acts? Anybody know? It was Philip. He was the deacon in the church, one of the seven deacons. He became an evangelist, Philip the evangelist. He went up to Samaria. And when he went there, people got saved. But get this now. they weren't baptized with and in the Holy Spirit, like John prophesied Jesus would do. They weren't. And number two, they didn't have the Holy Spirit permanently indwelling them. And number three, they didn't have this baptism into Christ's body. They didn't have that by the Holy Ghost. Now, why not? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 8 for a moment here. And we're running out of time, but let me get this in, hasten to get it in. And look what it says in verse 14, after Philip preached and people got saved. In verse 14 it said, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John." They were apostles, remember. "Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost." Now isn't that interesting? Now look what it says in the next verse. "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them." Now, what does that mean, fallen upon? Remember, the Holy Ghost was in heaven, and on the day of Pentecost, he came down. Jesus went up in Acts chapter 1, and the Holy Spirit came down in Acts chapter 2, and the church went out in Acts chapter 3. Well, this didn't happen in the Samaritan church, that the Holy Spirit hadn't come down to baptize for the baptism that Jesus baptized them with. Jesus hadn't baptized them with and in the Holy Spirit yet. Neither were they permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit yet. Neither were they baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ yet. "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." You know, kind of reminds me of John's day. When John baptized, they didn't have the Holy Spirit fallen upon them. He said Jesus has to come to do that. And they didn't have these other things that we're talking about. So, look what it says in verse 17. "Then laid they," who are they? Peter and John, the apostles. And Peter had the keys of the kingdom, remember? And it says, "Then they laid their hands," and what you bind on heaven will have already been bound on earth. It says, "Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw they had that, by the laying on of hands of the apostles, they offered them money." Now, do we have to have the laying on of hands of the apostles to receive the Holy Ghost? No, it says, if you have not the Holy Ghost, you're none of his. Do we have to have the laying on of hands of the apostles to receive the baptism with and in the Holy Ghost so that we can have power to witness? No, because the Holy Ghost is in us, and he will fill us and empower us if we ask God and we wait upon God. And so it's not to the apostles, because the apostles aren't here anymore. And so understand that the book of Acts is historical. The book of Acts is transitional. Now, why was that required? Because these were non-Jews. They were part Jews, but they were part Gentile. And God wanted to show them and everybody around them that they are in equal footing with the Jerusalem Jews, and they got there not by being proselytized into being a Jew by baptism or circumcision. They got there, listen to me, by faith in Christ. Simple faith in Christ. Because they believed. They believed. And God wanted to show that. And that was a time to show that, because it was the transitional time from Judaism now to the church. And that's what's going on. One more illustration from the book of Acts that show you this transitional period. And I'll be done for tonight. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And look with me at Acts chapter 10. Now, if you go to Acts chapter 10, remember that Peter had seen a vision. He'd seen a vision in Acts chapter 10. And if you look at verses 9 through 15, and I don't have you read it tonight, we don't have time, but let me just quickly explain it. Peter was at Simon the Tanner's house. And God was telling him, you know, you got the keys to the kingdom. We got more people you got to let in to the church who will be part of the kingdom. And who is it going to be? It already was Jews in Jerusalem. It already was mixed Jews and Gentiles in Samaria. Now we're in Caesarea. Who's it going to be now that he's going to let in to the church? So they'll be on equal footing with the Jews. Who is it?
The heathen.
The heathen or the Gentiles. Either way, the heathen or the Gentile. And they're Cornelius's people. Cornelius had all these people. Peter started preaching. And what happened? The Holy Spirit fell on them. Just like he said at Samaria when the apostles laid hands, the Holy Spirit fell on. And he said it was just like in Acts 11, Peter said to the church, he said it was just like happened to us on Acts 2. And it was to show the Gentiles are now accepted on equal footing, and they have just as much right to the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit as kosher Jews do, as circumcised, even though these guys may not be circumcised, even though these guys don't eat kosher food and never were made to eat kosher food. This is a great dispensational time, and you need to understand it. And once the book of Acts, and once this is done, now anybody and everybody, Jew, half-breed, Gentile, is accepted in Christ. And we could vote them into the church upon baptism because they need to be water baptized. Every one of them were. You can check it out. Acts 10, Acts 2, Acts 8. It's always water baptism. Isn't that exciting? This is the baptism by the Holy Spirit into spiritual union with the body of Jesus Christ and the head of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And unto the purpose so that you can function as part of Christ on earth. You are part of Christ in the sense of his spiritual body. He wants to work through you. Are you really in Christ tonight? Are you really connected to the head? If you're not connected to the head, you shouldn't be baptized, because no matter how many times you go underwater, that's not going to change your heart. You must be born again. Jesus knocks at the door of our heart, and he offers himself to us, and he says, accept me. But you need to repent and change your mind about Jesus to do that. And that's what the Jews had to do. They had murdered Jesus. They needed to repent of murdering him and accept him for who he was, the Lord and Savior of their life, and put their faith in him. And they did. And then the Gentiles did. And more Gentiles than Jews were getting saved. Listen, God is sovereign. In the baptism of Christ, in and with the Holy Spirit, God is sovereign. You can't put it on your timetable. You can't even put revival on your timetable. And you can't put the salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your timetable. And it's not a flesh and blood. It's not a flesh and blood. We have to pray to God to touch our children. It's not a flesh and blood. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that shall. I believe in the sovereign grace of God. Amen? All right, let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about